Well, good morning. We would appreciate your prayers this morning. We thank the Lord to be here and for his word this morning. I wrote on the board, the effect of righteousness. I've been thinking through the week about this, and I would ask the Lord to bless our time together here. We've been talking about marriage for some time, and almost most of the things we have said can be applied to life, relationships, or marriage. And this morning is the same way. It's much more than just marriage, but it applies so well to that. I was thinking about the verse in Isaiah 32 and 17. And it says here, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." This morning, there is an effect to the way we live. Do we realize that? I know we do if we stop to think about it for a moment. We don't live without effects. And if we live godly and righteous lives, it's going to affect things around our home and in our marriage and in our relationships with everyone, isn't it? The scripture tells us that the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I know there's a lot of homes that would love to have quietness. I'm not talking about no noise, because we love the sound of children, don't we? I'm talking about quietness from strife and all the things that happen like that. And so the opposite to this would be the effect of sinfulness in our lives. I think all of us have seen lots of that around us, haven't we? We've seen good homes that if sinfulness comes into it, it deteriorates and trouble begins to happen and heartache and troubles for children and just so many things. But the effect of righteousness is so different. And so I want us to think about that this morning as we're traveling through some of the scriptures. And I feel like the Lord brought Daniel to my mind, and I'd like to share his story a little bit with us. You know, Daniel was a righteous man in his time, and Daniel lived through some pretty unstable times. It wasn't because Daniel's life was free from pain or free from trouble. We remember where Daniel was, right? He was down in Babylon, in a foreign land. He had been taken. He was a captive. So the very beginning of Daniel's life was one of trouble. He saw the Israelites taken, and he experienced going down there and then being a captive in a strange land and having to serve the king, the one that took them. And I'm sure Daniel had a lot of feelings about that. Daniel didn't want to be there. But I want to look a little bit at his life. But first, let's look in Daniel 2 and 1. And we'll find the Bible gives a pretty clear picture of who Daniel was. It says, "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar." Now, who was that? The great king of Babylon, wasn't it? The power of the known world at that time. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep went away from him. And he wanted to know, what was it that I dreamed? I dreamed something really important, and I cannot remember my dream. And he was troubled. And it says, the king commanded, in verse 2, to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And then the Chaldeans, it says, spoke to him in Syriac, and they said, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Well, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? But not to the king, because he couldn't remember the dream, and he wanted to know. And he wanted to know that whoever gave him the interpretation could give him the dream also. So he started acting pretty unreasonable here. And he said in verse 5, he said, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, how reasonable is that? Is there anybody that can ask somebody else, tell me my dream and tell me what it means, and if you don't, I'm going to cut you up? But that's what the king said, and that was to all of his wise men, all the counselors that he had there. He wanted to know what that was. Well, dropping down to verse 10, it says, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, who dwelleth not with flesh. Now, we know the rest of this story. I'm not going to belabor us reading this story. They came to Daniel to take him, and he said, he went to the king, or however it was there. He went to the king, and he asked for some time. Give me some time, and I'll tell you the dream. Why did Daniel do that? Why did he have the wherewithal to tell the king, if you'll give me some time, I'll tell you the dream? Because though Daniel was fairly young here, Daniel knew the Lord, didn't he? And so he went back to his friends, and they began to pray and seek the Lord. And God showed Daniel the dream and what it meant. And when he went to the king, there was something meaningful then, because the king knew that this is no work of astrology. This is no work of a smart man. There's something here beyond that. And God began to work there in King Nebuchadnezzar's realm. And we know eventually Daniel was raised up in power there. But who was this Daniel? I want to look at him a little bit. Because Daniel was not some great, and he was a smart man. It's evident he was very intelligent. But that wasn't where Daniel's success came from, was it? How could Daniel have known those things? Because God revealed them. Daniel was smart enough to seek the Lord. Let's look back in the first chapter, now at the fifth verse, and consider a little bit of who Daniel was. You remember the little story there? The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And so he told the fellow that was in charge of this, you feed these men here a daily provision, you give them my wine, you give them my meat. At the end of 3 years, they're all going to stand before me and answer questions, and I'll see who's worthy to lead this great realm that I have. And so in verse 8, we find that Daniel, you remember Daniel and his three friends, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Do you know this morning, that was Daniel as a young man. I want to get a little picture of who Daniel was. Because, folks, Daniel was not some super man. Daniel was a man that sought the Lord in his day. And he lived according to what God required of him. And I want to encourage us today. Folks, Daniel has had an effect on my life. And probably on yours. And on many millions of lives through the years. His effect on the realm that he lived in was pretty tremendous, wasn't it? At critical times, they called for Daniel because they wanted somebody that was in touch with God to tell them something no one else could. What was that handwriting on the wall? Oh, what was it? Belshazzar, I believe it was. And the handwriting on the wall? And the grandmother or mother said, call for Daniel. There's a man in this realm that knows those things. Do you know, Daniel was not a superman though. Daniel was just a man that was faithful to God. And God chose him for that place and that time and used him. Then this morning, you and I are in a place. You are maybe the father of a home. Maybe the mother. Maybe a child. But I want to tell you something. If we will be faithful to God, He will choose for us the things He wants us to do as well. And as parents, He will give us many times those things that nobody else could give. Not that we don't ask, because I asked all the time when I was a parent. But I want to tell you something. Some things God has to give us, doesn't it? Some things God has to change. And I want to look at some faithful men here, a couple of them, that set the way before us this morning. Daniel, as a young man, now remember, he didn't want to do this. You know, we look later in Daniel's life, and he was the president of all the presidents, of the three presidents, and over all the realm. And we find that they were jealous of him, his co-workers, weren't they? The vice presidents and all those, the three presidents, you know, they were jealous of him. And so they got the king to make a rule that if you did ask anything of any man except the king, you'd be put to the lion's den. You know, Daniel knew that. This was a little later in his life. When he was evidently several years down the road there in that position. And you know what he did? You know how long he quit praying? Between one noon and one night. And he went back and prayed again. He never quit at all. And he didn't hide it. Daniel kept praying just like he had prayed before. That was who Daniel was. I want us to remember another piece of Daniel's life. We all know that story. It's a beautiful story. And we know that he was put in the lion's den. And we know that God sent the angel to shut the lion's mouths. You know, that must have been an interesting time for Daniel. He was down there with those lions. Do you suppose him and the angel carried on a conversation there? Maybe so. You know, it might have been one of the highlights of his life afterwards. I'm sure it wasn't going in. But I want to tell you, Daniel knew the Lord. There came another time, this is in Daniel the 9th chapter in the 2nd verse. And we find here it says in the first year, in the first year, pardon me, of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, excuse me, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, the Israelites had sinned greatly, and God allowed this Nebuchadnezzar to come down and take them away, didn't he? But he gave them a promise, and he said, in 70 years you can come back. And so after 70 years, Daniel must have been an old man by then. After 70 years was accomplished, Daniel began to look to God. Lord, I see in the books here, what about this? And it says, and I set my face unto the Lord God, verse 3, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What I want to get out of this is, folks, we can try to be good and it'll help, probably. But I want to tell you what God's really wanting to do. Daniel had a life that was far more than just saying he didn't want the king's meat and his wine. He was a man that sought the Lord. He sought after him. And when he came to this time when he was an old man, he read in the books of Jeremiah, and he read where the promise of God was that in 70 years you can go back. But he didn't see anything happening. And he didn't know, what, Lord, what about this? You promised this. And you know what he did? It says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I want to challenge us this morning. We have responsibility. The way our life is has an effect. We cannot be good enough to lead people to the Lord. But I want to tell you what. There's a lot more than just being good. The Lord wants a people. And I want to challenge us fathers. I want to challenge us mothers. That we know the Lord. Daniel came to this place, and he didn't throw up his hands and give up. What's this mean? How come nothing is happening? He began to fast and pray and seek God. And you know what the Lord did? He sent the angel Gabriel. One of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. I love this story. And the one following in verse, I think, chapter 10. God sent the angel Gabriel here and began to talk to Daniel. And we find where he not only ministered to him about what was going on. I'll drop down to verse 21 in chapter 9. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And then he began to tell him when Jesus was going to be born. And all of that. Some of the things that we cherish today came out of Daniel seeking God. And I just hope that we as men and women, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, listen, the Lord wants to reveal things to us. There are things about our children, our family life, our own marriage, our own thoughts, our own needs. There are things about the church's need, and we can get a hold of God for those things. It's going to come more from more than just being good. And so, because if I say, folks, I'm just going to talk real on the level here, on the plane. If we just tell each other to do right, to do good, to obey all the scriptures, we've just got a piece of it. But then the Lord wants to go on as he was with Daniel. Daniel did those things. He did those things that were right. But we find him having a life of prayer where his devotions were constant. And that wasn't all. Then he had special times when he sought the Lord until the Lord answered him. We have more than one time of that. And God gave him things that was crucial to his life and many others. And so some of the things that we have today that verify the truth of this being truth comes from Daniel. The very fact that he prophesied all these years before when the kingdom would come into place, when Jesus was crucified. All those, do you know Daniel prophesied of those things? I will tell you, the effect of Daniel's life has been great. Has it not? The effect has been great. And I just want to encourage us today. It's a beautiful thing for God to speak to someone. It's a beautiful thing when answers come from the Lord. Not just from the mind, but from the Lord. And yes, they come down through the mind. So this morning, maybe if we've tried and failed and tried, and maybe we're only giving part of it. Maybe we're just trying to be good. The Lord wants us to be saved, and that's an easy process. Humble our hearts and the Lord will forgive us. That's wonderful, isn't it? But you know what he wants us to do after that? He wants us to have a lifelong life of righteousness, of seeking God and finding him. He wants us to have something that will have a real effect upon those around us. Is that too much to say or ask? I believe it's something God wants to give us. Not something that we're looking at like, oh no, what do I have to do now? Oh no, thank God we have access to the Father, don't we? Thank the Lord this morning. And so we see Daniel's life far more than just praying. We see him with a heart searching after the God of heaven. And he found him. And the Lord told him things specifically. That's not just for Daniel. That's for every one of us. There's some things that only God can reveal. But he wants to do that for us today. Let's look over at another fella that we all enjoy reading about, and it's so interesting. That's Joshua. Let's look at the very end of his life, Joshua 24 and 15. When Joshua was about to come to the end, it says that he said this. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And I'm thinking today, because this is the very verse that we started with, actually, in this whole thing, this lesson this morning. But the scripture says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. I believe that choice is more than just saying, you know, I think I'll serve the Lord. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose his life. He wants us to choose his ways. He wants us to choose to know the Lord. He wants us to choose to be righteous in this life. Not self-righteous, but righteous. Is that all right? Of course it is. You choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you know that Joshua had his mind made up? Did you know that Joshua didn't make his mind up that day? He had that made up for a long, long time. Because if you look back a little ways, do you remember when they sent the spies into the land of Canaan? Joshua was one of those spies. He went in there. He saw that the land was good. He saw that it was good. I want to ask you this morning, do you see some things? Do you see some good things? You see some things that you wish you had? Well, these people saw things that they would love to have. And there was 12 of them. And it says here in Numbers 13 and 17, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Who were the children of Anak? They were giants. And we see these two men here. Caleb was 40 years old, so I'm going to assume maybe Joshua was about that age. I haven't looked that up. But it says in verse 30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Here was two men whose hearts were fully set to serve the Lord. And you know what he did? There was an uproar here. The people were afraid. They were frightened. They were wanting to go back to where they came from, which was a terrible situation. But Caleb had an effect on them. He stood up and he stilled the people. Let's quiet down. I want to tell you, the effect of a righteous man or woman in a circle of people has an effect. Do you know you can have an effect in your home? You know that sometimes the temperature needs turned down, doesn't it? You know what? Somebody has to do that, don't they? Sometimes we have to get a hold of the Lord. Lord, help us. And you know what? God is there for us, isn't He? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, this is Numbers 13 and 30, 31. I'll read a few verses here. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, was this Caleb that we read about and that was such a pillar in their lives? Was he such a strong man or what? He says, we are well able to go up and overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. They're all giants. Were they all giants? Were there some giants? Yeah, there was. On where was it? Caleb went back for his possession. There were some giants there. Caleb wasn't afraid of them at all. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And they wanted, at one point here, they said, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And if you turn it over to Numbers 14, now I think we all have the picture here, I hope. Okay, we know this story well, don't we? That here the Israelites were come to go into their promised land that God promised them. You're going to have houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant. It's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. There's going to be a lot of good things there. And they went in and looked at it and they said, sure enough, that's the way it is. But there's walled cities, there's giants, there's no way we can take that. That flew in the face of God. Didn't it? For them to say that God was not able to take them in after he had delivered them from Egypt and took them through the Red Sea and across the Jordan. Well, they hadn't gone there yet. But, you know, that must have been in God's face. And when I hear people say, I can't, I feel like, folks, it's in God's face. Because there is nothing He cannot do. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so can you. That's the way it is this morning. God can do that, can't He? And so they said, let us make a captain. And in Numbers 14 and 6 says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And so this morning, I just want to say, we read about Joshua and Caleb and Daniel and David and Joseph and so many others. We read about these ones. Hebrews 11 is full of stories like that, isn't it? Folks, these people are many of them people who really sought the Lord, if not every one of them. They sought the Lord in their life. And I want to encourage us today. We can be what God wants us to be. But we're going to have to choose between the world and the Lord. We're going to have to choose between the things the world offers and the life of God. We're going to have to choose between the things that would attract our affections and the affections for the things of the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want to encourage us today and challenge us. Folks, this is not some life that's I could never get there. It's way up there somewhere, a long ways from me. Daniel was just a man that did what he knew God wanted him to do. He took his time for devotions. When it came time for him to understand things he could not understand, he put aside everything and he went out and fasted and prayed and got a hold of God. Is that something that we all cannot do? And I'm not throwing anything. Folks, I hope this will challenge and encourage you and me. God, help us today to take full advantage of the promises of God in our life. We do not have to be without any direction in our life. God wants to visit us at times in our life with special visits. And at those times, and have many of us here, I'm sure, know what I'm talking about. I want to tell you, there are those times when God has to give us special provision, special understanding. Those are times to seek for. And then many days, we just have our regular worships, don't we? But let's have them. Let's keep our soul fed day by day. Because, folks, for us to just try to go and be good, that's not going to hold us. We're going to have our affections centered up in God's things. Doesn't the Scripture say, set your affection on things above? Not on things on the earth. Jesus is looking for people that esteems Him above all the things that this life has to offer. And I believe when we do this, folks, in our personal lives, whether you're young or old, I want to tell you, you don't have to be old to seek the Lord. You can find Him as a young person. I want to ask us a few questions this morning. Will our affections be captured by the spirit of the age we live in? Or will we set our affection on things above? Being a man or a woman, you know the world today, I have no doubt, has more things offered every day, all the time, coming at you like a river of stuff. Things offered to your mind, things offered to you to take your time, good things, bad things, all kinds of things being offered. Are they not? Who is willing this day to make the choice to say, I'm going to be one that seeks the Lord in my life. I'm going to be one that I will not allow my devotion time to be crowded out. I will pay the price, which means I've got to choose maybe over the thing in my pocket. I've got to choose between the things the world has to offer, which are many, and the Lord. Is that true? Will the fascinations of the electronic age take our mind until there is none left to seek the Lord? Now, we all know what we're talking about here, okay? Probably every one of us, or most all of us. We know what we're talking about, don't we? Before you know it, you can say, I spent that much time. You can set your phone so it'll tell you. You know what? This morning, before we know it, all of the time that we would have sought God, we're too tired. There isn't anything left. You know, if we want something to be left, we have to plan for it, don't we? We have to plan for it. And we have to maybe give up something really important. Now, I'm not talking about a life where you can never get things done and all that. But folks, I'm talking about just setting our whole life in such an order that we can be like Daniel was. That we can take time to seek the Lord. Okay, so if this little thing takes too much of my time, the electronic dazzling things of the world today takes all my energy and time, then I need to lay it aside, don't I? Because I'm going to seek the Lord. I want to tell you something. I plan to seek the Lord. I want to know the Lord. I want to see heaven, and I want to see the face of God in peace one day. Is that all right? Oh, this morning. The fascinations of the electronic age is truly amazing, isn't it? It truly is amazing. And they come out with more amazing things every day. And very easily, it can take all of the energy that we have. All of it. It can do that. Very easily, there's things on there that can addict people. That's true, isn't it? Sure it is. I will tell you, the only cure for all those things, folks, is for us to make a choice and choose in our hearts. Choose today. I am going to seek the Lord. I'm going to know the Lord. I'm going to be a spiritual man or woman or child. Now, that isn't saying that I'm some superhuman. Folks, it means that not only do I live right, but I take my time to know the Lord. Folks, we've got to do that. We've got to know the Lord. There isn't any other way. Being good or right, that's when good things become self-righteousness, when they take the place of God. I'm doing good. I'm doing all right, so I don't have to know the Lord. That's when it's self-righteousness. We don't want anything to do with that, do we? We want to be good, all right. But folks, we want to take time to know the Lord. Set our affection on things above. And cut those things out. These are the kind of men that we are following. Here was Joshua and Caleb that we look up to so much as if they're some giant. Folks, they're just people that humbled themselves to follow God and they believed Him. And we can be the same. Every one of us can. I believe that. You believe that? If we don't have faith, we'll never please Him because we'll never even seek Him to start with. We'll just say, I can't. Will our mind be taken by the amazing new things we constantly see all around us now? Will the prosperity that is still all around us creep in? And we trade our constant life and devotions for the things, luxuries, indulgences that are so easy to have? Will we trade those things for the humble worship of the Lord? It's being done every day in our country, isn't it? And I want to encourage us to to recognize what a snake those things can be. Given in the hands of God, they can be a golden rod to feed many and to be a blessing. But I want to tell you something. We have to be careful in our age today, because this is the age we live in today. Not to set our hearts. We say, well, I'm not going to set my heart on it. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. If it's taken the place of your devotions and your worship and your seeking God, being in service, okay, I'm not throwing anything, but listen. The thermometer tells where we really are, what temperature it really is. If we don't have enough temperature, if it's not high enough, that we're out to service when we're supposed to be, then it's too low. It's too low. I want to encourage us today to seek the Lord and to know Him. You know that the Scriptures tell us that even Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are? He was. He was not some person that was so amazing. He was a man that sought God. And I'll read that here in a minute. You remember Jesus said, Luke 18:8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want the Lord to find faith on the earth. And folks, whether we have faith or not is a choice we make. It really is. It's not, well, some people have faith and some don't. Folks, it's a choice we make. And so for us to serve the Lord, have faith and confidence in God, that comes from choices we make. I want to encourage us today. I'm going to say one more thing to this. Will we trade the blessing of being in worship service or prayer service for the fascinations of life? You know, this morning, there are a lot of fascinations of life and a lot of different ways and different things. But I want to tell you, God wants to be in that place. He wants to be our fascination, if you will. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, it says. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Do you know that he was, what the Scripture's telling us is, he was just a man like you and me. He was just a human being like us. That's what the Scripture's telling us when it says that. And the verse before it tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So this morning, I hope we have not painted this as something unattainable. Folks, it is every day living for the Lord. It is at the center of our affections and life. It is seeing God and searching for Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That being where our affections are and where our desires run and where we feed from. That's what the Lord wants. We all have 24 hours a day. We're all going to fill it with something, are we not? We all have hungers in our soul. We're going to fill it with something, aren't we? We sure will. Let's fill it with good things. And let's remember something. Folks, we want to have an effect in our life. I hope you do too. I desperately don't want my life to go down and then say, well, he was a pretty good man. Folks, I hope our lives, that we long for them to mean something in the work of the Lord, some way, even if it's to just our family. But I think it can be more broad than that most of the time, perhaps all the time. And so let's look for that. I thought about a stream. You ever stepped out in a strong flowing stream? It just wants to carry you away, doesn't it? And the stronger it is and the deeper you get into it, the harder it is to stand your ground. You're about going to flow with it, aren't you? I really believe that the effect of righteousness is like that too. Folks, I think there can be an effect like that, a pull upon our home that the Lord wants to have. I think there can be something there that the suction, the pull is great, rather than the push away from. I think that can be the case. The Lord help us today that we will cause those around us in some form and fashion to have a longing in their heart to know the Lord. Oh, this morning, if we don't know the Lord like that, maybe it's time to pray. There ought to be and can be a clarity and strength in our home that everyone in that home knows what the center is. They know what the real crux of everything is. They know not what we say, but what we do. And so, you know, let's just, again, Lord, teach me your ways and show me your paths and draw me closer to you. You know, we don't want to say, well, I'm not where I need to be. Well, let's just get there. Let's we seek the Lord daily. That's what we're supposed to do. We don't have some revelation every day out of heaven, but I'll tell you, we ought to have a walk with the Lord. And we ought to have something that God gives us and some real special things from time to time that we can point back to and know. I believe the Lord wants us to have that. I don't think he just wanted Caleb to have it, Joshua to have it, Daniel and all of those others. Oh, there's so many life situations. There's so many relationships everywhere. It's easy for us, if we get in a job situation that's unpleasant, to pray for the Lord, take that guy out of the way. Take him out. And maybe we should be praying, Lord, bring him in. You know, maybe we should be thinking a little different sometimes. Lord, move on this situation and humble me that I can be a true light. Because the Lord told us, the light has to be on the candlestick, doesn't it? Not hid down in a drawer. I don't want them to know I'm a Christian. I don't want them. No, except the light is on the candlestick. And that doesn't mean we lift ourselves up. But folks, we allow God to put us in situations that are unpleasant so we can shine. How else would it work? That's the way the Lord wants it to be. So the Lord help us today. Thank you for your time today with me and listening, and you pray for us. I want to see us all move closer, and I want to. Amen.